Hi, this is Chris Mayo, and I'm a senior technical evangelist for the Office 365 platform. And in this video, we're going to be talking about developing solutions in the cloud with Office 365. Now, this video is a first of a series of videos to go along with the Office 365 training kit. And in this video, we'll go over, at a high level, all the different opportunities that you as a developer have for customizing or building solutions on top of Office 365. So let's go through a quick agenda just so you can get an idea of what we're going to be covering in these first videos. So first we'll talk about what is Office 365. So what does it mean when Microsoft says, hey, we're moving our communication and our collaboration suite of products into the cloud? Second, we'll talk about each of the individual services and what kind of a platform opportunity you have as a developer to extend or customize each of these services. And we'll start with SharePoint Online. So we'll talk about what is SharePoint Online, and we'll talk about SharePoint Online customization. So what is included in the platform, how is it the same as or different from what you might be used to building SharePoint solutions on-premise. And then we'll talk about Exchange Online. Again, we'll talk about the service, how it differs from its on-premise counterpart on which it's based, and then we'll talk about the development opportunity. Again, how the platform is similar to or different from its on-premise counterpart. Finally, we'll talk about Link Online, and we'll talk about Link and Link development according to, again, how is it similar to or different from what you might be used to building communication solutions with Link. And we'll talk about the roadmap for the beta, as well as for the release of the product, and then wrap up with some salient points and some resources. Okay, so let's talk about Office 365. Microsoft Office 365 is essentially cloud versions of Microsoft's communication and collaboration product. So if you think about Exchange, SharePoint, and Link, Office 365 is all of these products offered as software as a service, or essentially we're providing cloud-based versions of these services hosted in Microsoft data centers where we're responsible for the hardware, the networking, the software, updates, patches, security, antivirus, all these things that you would typically be responsible for when running these services on-premise. Now, there's a couple of big differences between Office 365 and what we have available today in business productivity online services, or our current cloud offering for communication and collaboration. So the first big difference is all of the services in Office 365 are going to be based on the 2010 version of the on-premises services. So Exchange Online is based on Exchange 2010, SharePoint Online is based on SharePoint 2010, and Link Online is based on Link Server 2010. So if you think about the feature set, and as we'll see here in a minute, the development opportunity for building solutions for Exchange, SharePoint, and Link, you're going to have a really good idea of what the new services are going to look like and what platform opportunity they're going to provide. So the second change, or major change that you're going to see with Office 365 versus our current suite of BPOS, is that Office Professional Plus is now offered as part of the subscription. So this is the same Office Professional Plus that you're used to today. It's just delivered as a service rather than, you know, a box install or a CD or DVD that's included in a box. So when you sign up for Office 365, if you purchase a license for a user that includes Office Professional Plus, they would be able to go up into, sign into Office 365. They would get a link to install Office Professional. They would get Office Professional installed from the portal, as well as some other utilities that, you know, do all of the connection to the cloud backend as far as, you know, saving documents, connecting to Link, connecting to Outlook, and so on. So another great addition to Office 365. And then finally, what you're going to see in Office 365 is we've made a huge number of improvements to the purchasing and administration properties that you use for, you know, getting set up with Office 365 and administering the services and so on. So now you have one single portal that you use for purchasing, managing users, managing each of the services in Exchange, SharePoint, and Link, all in one portal. So it's much easier for IT admins or for the folks responsible for administering the service to do what they need to do to get the service, you know, up and running and provisioned for their users. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through each of the individual services in this first segment or this first video, but I encourage you to go to http://office365.microsoft.com. There's a lot of great resources there, including a fact sheet, as well as service descriptions that talk about each individual service at a very, very fine grained or a very, very fine depth. Actually talking about on a feature-by-feature basis the difference between the on-prem service, I'm sorry, the on-prem server and the online service. So I encourage you to go to office365.microsoft.com and check out those resources. So the roadmap for Office 365. Well, back in Q4, back in November of last year, we actually released the Office 365 private beta, and it filled up very, very quickly. So that was the beta that we used to do the TAP program, giving customers an early look and providing us feedback on the service, as well as the Office 365 Metro program, which is a program I'm associated with or contribute to. That allows ISVs to start building applications or products, cloud-based products, for Office 365. Now, in Q2 of 2011, or today actually, we're releasing the Office 365 public beta. So based on all the feedback that we've gotten and doing some testing with real customers, we're really happy to make available a public beta that you can sign up for and get access to the service on a much wider scale than what we were able to provide in the private beta. And we're on schedule to release Office 365 for general availability in the service in H1 of 2011. And if you're not used to our cloud service BPOS, or Business Productivity Online Services, how this will work is everyone that signs up for new service is going to get the latest and greatest in Office 365. And current BPOS customers will, at GA, get an announcement mail letting them know that the new service is available and give them a time window that they can select in order to be upgraded to the latest service. Okay, so that's the roadmap. So it's probably a good time to go ahead and start taking a look at Office 365. So in this first demo, we're going to log into the portal. I'm going to show you the administration console and the work that you can do as far as setting up users and applying licenses and so on, and then give you a quick tour of some of the service administration of SharePoint Online. In this video, we're going to take a quick tour of the administrative portal for Microsoft Office 365. You can see here that I've gone to login.microsoftonline.com, which is the entry point for logging into the service. You can see here I have two choices. If I'm a new customer and want to sign up for the service, I can click on the Learn More link and, you know, sign up for the service, give a credit card, determine how many licenses I want to start off with initially, and so on. I've actually already done that work, so I'm just going to go ahead and sign in and go straight to the portal. Okay, so this is the Microsoft Online Services portal, and you can see here that I have a number of different links that just a normal user would have, and then some special links for being the administrator. So I'm going to go ahead and click on the home link. Now this is the home page or the landing page that everyone will see when they log into the service, and I can access Outlook, my inbox, calendar, and set up some options. For Link, I can install the Link 2010 client and start using IM Presence, click to communicate, and so on. I can go directly to my SharePoint home site that's been set up by the administrator for me as a user. I also have some links up here to go directly to Outlook or directly to my team site. Now, I'm the administrator for the service, or one of the administrators for the service within my company. So I'll go ahead and click on the admin link, which takes me to the admin portal for not only the various services, but also for setting up users and so on. So if I go to the management portal for setting up users, you can see here that I have a number of different users set up, including myself. And you can see that the licenses that I have a couple of different choices for licenses. I can set up an enterprise license, Microsoft Office 365 Plan E3. And that is a plan that includes Office Professional Plus, Link Online, Office Web Apps, SharePoint Online, and Exchange. Or I could give an individual user a kiosk license, which is great for users that don't spend a lot of time working at a PC, aren't considered really information workers, but maybe need to, you know, check up on updates or announcements on a SharePoint site and look at OWA a couple times a day or Outlook Web Access a couple times a day. When I set up a user, I can assign them a role, either being a normal user or an administrator. You can see here that since I'm the administrator that set up the service, I'm automatically made a global administrator, and a global administrator can modify anything within the tenancy, you know, whether it be users, services, password resets, billing, and so on. I can't change this here because I'm the only global administrator in the tenancy. You can set up sign-in status, either allowing or blocking a particular user, and you can set the user's home location. So I can go through and set up all my users, and I can either enter them just one at a time, just by clicking on this dialog and saying new user and filling in, you know, some web forms. I can also use a CSV file to bulk add users. So if there's a template, you fill out the information in the template and it'll provision the users just by uploading the file. And then you just, you know, assign licenses to them. If I have AD deployed and I'm using the enterprise version of the service, I can set up Active Directory synchronization, and what that does is synchronizes the user accounts that I have on-premise in Active Directory up into the cloud, so I don't have to manually enter those, either, you know, typing them in or the CSV file method. Once I have that, I can actually set up single sign-on through ADFS 2.0, giving my users the ability to log into the service as soon as they log into their Windows box. So actually doing some federation between, you know, my on-premise AD deployment and Office 365. So once I've set up all my users, then I have the ability to actually start administering the individual services. So you can see here that in Office 365, I have access to Exchange Online Management, Link Online Management, and SharePoint Online Management. I'm going to go ahead and click on the Manage link here and go straight to the Administration Center for SharePoint Online. And you can see it's quite different from Central Administration for SharePoint 2010 on-premise. You know, you don't have options for configuring the farm or managing web applications and so on, because that's actually included in the service. I mean, part of the reason why you buy software as a service is that you don't have to manage the data centers or software updates, hardware updates, networking, antivirus, and all these things. So that's actually taken care of for you in SharePoint Online. In SharePoint Online, it's just a matter of, you know, managing your site collections, you know, working with InfoPath, managing the term store, if that's a feature you're going to be leveraging. If I click on Manage Site Collections here, you can see all the different site collections that I've set up here for doing, you know, my work. You can see that I can, for a particular site collection, I can give it a storage quota. I can assign a research usage quota for sandbox solutions that are running within that particular site. I can manage users, DNS information if I wanted to apply a vanity URL. When I create new sites, I can create a private site collection or a public website. And the public website is a customer or a public-facing website for your organization. It's not a full-on SharePoint for Internet Sites site collection. It's a very simple single site. You can modify it with a browser in order to customize the way it looks and add some information to it and so on. But it's just a very simple and a very quick way to create a public-facing website. Okay, so once I've done, you know, some administration, some configuration, I can start you know, granting my users access to SharePoint and get them started communicating, collaborating around these cloud services. So you can see here that it's radically different from what you might be used to on-prem. You know, you go to office365.microsoft.com, you sign up for the service, you add some users, you know, using any of the methods that I had mentioned before, either manual, uploading CSV files, or doing AD synchronization and AD federation. Once those users are in Office 365, you just apply licenses to them, giving them, you know, the features that they need to do their daily work. And then you start using the service. So it's incredibly fast. It's incredibly friction-free as far as getting started. And that's Office 365 from a getting started or administrator standpoint.